interested in hearing about what God's word has to say, because that's all I've got to bring. You know, you don't need to know much about me. You don't need to know much about anything else. We just need to know about God's word. And it will help us get through all that we need to get through. Life's challenges, life's concerns, life's problems, all the things that we face each day. God's word will help us through it. And I want to look at some scriptures tonight in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Very familiar story there. And read just a few verses. I'm actually going to start, I'm going to read in chapter 19, first couple of verses, and then we'll look at just a few verses in 18. But as we think about this and think about the story of Elijah and Baal, Baal's prophets there, and what took place, and then we look into chapter 19, starting in verse 1, says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." And we'll go to God in prayer just before we move on. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Lord, to be in your house, Lord, one more time. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these that came out tonight. Lord, I just pray that as we look into your word, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, that we would see, Lord, even when trouble comes, that you're still there, that you'll hold us up, Lord. You'll strengthen us, Lord, with your power and your might. Lord, I pray that we'd never forget that. We wouldn't allow the devil, Lord, to try to defeat us. Lord, I pray again, Lord, for Brother Dennis. Lord, help him, Lord, and strengthen him. Lord, I pray for the church. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd just keep your hand upon it. I pray, Lord, that we'd be able to worship with them, Lord, and we'd be able to hear, Lord, of great things, Lord, that you're doing here. Lord, I just pray that they'd be able to be a light unto the community. Pray, Lord, if there's one here tonight, Lord, that's lost, Lord, a Christian, Lord, that's struggling, Lord, with sin, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would convict hearts here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And as we look at this here, I know it's very familiar, but as we think about this and think about what took place here in the first few verses of chapter 19, we can't help reflect back on what took place in chapter 18 when Elijah and Ahab had had a contest, you know, to see whose God would show up. As it talked about in chapter 18 of how many there was of the prophets, Baal's prophets, and of the other of those, the prophets of the groves, there was about 850 that was against Elijah, you know, that came and as they had this contest, and as Elijah told them, you know, to call on your God, you know, and see if your God would appear, and if he would answer, you know, and see if he would do anything, you know. And as we know the story, as they called on him, and he never showed up, they cut themselves and did many other things, trying to get, I guess, his as we would think, as trying to get their God's attention, you know. And then as we come to verse 30 in chapter 18, it says, "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." And that was, as you look, I believe the prophets of Baal, they had broken down the altar that was built there. "And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it a second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And as we finish reading a little bit more of this, just remember what when Jezebel sent that messenger to Elijah, saying, you know, that she was going to, his life would be as one of these, if you know, as one of the ones that had been killed by Elijah and the men there. And so, as I think about that, and before I get ahead of myself, you know, sometimes we need a spiritual refreshing. And as you can think about that in your mind, and you know, sometimes it's after a great victory. And as we read this, what a great victory it was for Elijah when he called upon God. You know, and God came, God showed up in a great way. And then he got the news that Jezebel was going to be after him. You know, and after God showed up and did what he did, Elijah was scared and ran for his life. But as we read this, think about that, and think about as God moved here, and then how quick the defeat can come. And I believe many times in our lives, we can have a great victory over something, and it can be the compared to our victory, the smallest thing can try to defeat us. The devil can try to tear us down. It says, then the fire of the Lord fell, in verse 38, in chapter 18 there. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, I don't know how much fire it takes to lick up. I know how much it takes a good bit of fire to burn up wood, but to burn up a stone, I believe that needs to be pretty hot. You know, God didn't fool around. God showed up in a magnificent way. He made sure that they knew that it was fire from heaven, that God was in control of it. You know, and it wasn't dry wood. I mean, I like to start a fire, and I'm going to start it with some dry wood. And sometimes, I'd have to admit, sometimes I use a little bit of igniter even to make it light. You know, and here Elijah, he wanted barrels of water poured on it. You know, and how much confidence he had in his God. You know, he wanted to make sure that there was no room for error of them to say, well, you know, you did some kind of trick here. You know, whatever you did, you know, that's why it caught on fire. You know, he wanted to make sure of that. You know, and so as Elijah did this and trusted God at that time, and he was up against 850 men. You know, it wasn't just him and Ahab there. It was 450 of Baal's prophets, and 400 of the Groves prophets there. And so he was against, he was outnumbered greatly. And sometimes we feel that we may be outnumbered greatly, but I do know our God is in control. Our God is bigger than all that's in this world, you know, and we can see that here, and we can see how great our God is even when we are outnumbered. And many times we may be outnumbered because we can look around. We may come in contact with some people that maybe have the name of a Christian. I know how loosely it's used. You know, not everyone, I'll back up. There's many that want to be a Christian. You know, they want to say they're a Christian because I guess it makes them feel good. I don't know what it does, you know, but maybe they know in their heart that they should be a Christian. So they say they're a Christian. But many times they have no concern for God. And no concern for what God is all about. But as you read a little bit more of this here, and it says, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And as you think about that, and then we move into chapter 19 and those first few verses I read, As Jezebel heard about this, she sent a messenger, you know, and sent, I guess, a written message to Elijah. You know, if she had authority and power, she didn't even come herself. She just sent someone else. And many times, just when someone comes by us and says the wrong thing, it almost defeats us. You know, they could say that, well, such and such said this, or such and such, you know, is going to do this. And we are almost everything but defeated, just as Elijah was there. And as you read on in verse 4 in chapter 19, he ran for his life. He was scared to death because of a message that was sent to him that someone was going to take his life after he had just seen God show up in a miraculous way. And if he didn't need a spiritual refreshing, I believe I'd be badly mistaken. You know, and that's what happens to us, you know, and not to look down on him. I mean, we know how great a work he did and how great he was after this. And he was able to mentor Elisha, you know, and what Elisha was able to do through just being around Elijah. So just because he had a bad day, I'm sure not here to crucify him. But I do know that many times it'll happen to us in just in a split second, you know, we can feel defeated over the least little thing. But as we look at verse 4 there, it says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die." You know, he was asking God, "Just go ahead and take me now. Don't allow Jezebel, you know, to even have an opportunity to come and inflict any pain on me. You know, to have an opportunity to come and do this. Just take me out of here now." It says, "And it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." You know, and here we can see how God shows up, even in time of discouragement, even in, and as I this kind of goes along with this morning's message, but even in time of defeat, even in time when we think, there's no cause left, there's no reason to go on, it says, "And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals." And he was in the wilderness, you know, so there was nobody else there, you know, out in, because it says he went on into the wilderness. So God showed up and did a miracle there. And a cake was baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." You know, and I believe sometimes we just got to realize the journey is too great for us by ourselves. We need the strength. We need the help. We need God to hold us up. We need him to be with us we need him through the great times, and we sure need him through the bad times, because defeat will come. And as I thought about this and looked at a few things, some things that will cause us to need a spiritual refreshing. And in Hebrews 12:15, if you'll turn there with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 15th verse, and there's some things there that... many, you talk to some people and they have this in their life. They say they're Christians and they have this in their life, and God tells us that there's no place for it. And in, we'll read verse 14. It says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." You know, bitterness is a very devastating thing. You know, we get bitterness in our heart. We're angry at someone. God tells us, you know, that we can't have bitterness in our life. We can't have aught against another brother. You know, and many times that happens. You know, and we think about the bitterness that some people has because they say, "Well, you just don't know what someone did." You know, and they're not going to forgive them. You know, and God tells us that we need to forgive as Jesus forgave us, you know, and we say, "Well, we weren't that bad. We were really bad, you know, before we were a Christian," and many times we're still really bad, and we need that forgiveness. We look in Galatians, the 5th chapter. We'll turn there, and I'm not going to be before you very long, but I just want to look at a few other verses here in Galatians, the 5th chapter, and it in the 16th verse says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." You know, and it goes on to talk about some of the works of the flesh and things that that get in our life, you know, and things that we wouldn't want to tell anybody's there. But that's what the flesh wants to do. The flesh wants to do many of these things that are listed in the next few verses. But I believe, you know, as we, that war that's in our life, that war that between the flesh and the spirit, I believe we need to remember that we need to always make sure that we feed the spirit. You know, many times we want to feed the flesh. We want to, if we're bitter at someone, if someone else has it all against them, we seems like we love to talk to them. We love to maybe fuel the fire to say, you know, and we, you know, hear more bad things about them, you know, so that I can justify why I feel the way I do. But God's word says there's no place for it in our life. God says, you know, that we need to forgive them. We looked at in chapter 6 of Galatians, the first verse. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you know, many times, you know, before we move on through that, well, if he's overtaken in a fault, he's fell by the wayside, sin has overtaken him, he's getting what he deserved. You know, he didn't, you know, all he did was cause trouble here at the church anyway, you know, and we're glad he's gone. And many times we hear that, how sad that is. But that's not what God said. God says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. You know, we go to him many times. Even if we did go to him, we'd go to him in bitterness and anger and wanting to drop the hammer on them and tell them, you know, how bad they are. But God tells us to do it in the spirit of meekness, you know, and considering thyself, well, not me, but somebody, considering thyself also, thou also be tempted, you know, because as we read and we look in God's word, many times we see that sin is right around the corner in everyone's life, you know. And I know we don't strive to sin, we don't look for sin, we try to avoid it, but it doesn't matter what we're doing. Seems like it's right around the corner. You know, we're just on the edge of being overtaken by a fault, you know. And so as we think about these that have been overtaken by a fault, and it does make us sad, and it makes us, you know, feel like, you know, that you know, there's no need to reach out to them anymore. But that's not what God says. God says, ye which are spiritual, and I believe, you know, and as many times, you know, the ones that are here on Sunday night and Wednesday night, you know, they're striving to be spiritual. You know, and I know I sure haven't arrived. Maybe you have, but I do know that that's our goal. We want to be spiritual. We want to be more like God. You know, more like our Savior. You know, and do things the way He would have us to do them. You know, and have God in our life. So we are striving to be spiritual. So us that are spiritual, we are the ones that are supposed to go and restore them. We are the ones that are supposed to reach out to them. We're the ones that are supposed to try to help them. We are the ones that are supposed to try to uplift them when things are really bad. And then in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we'll turn there and just a couple other verses. And in the fourth chapter, in the 30th verse, read just a couple verses there. And it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, and you read that and you think about that. He's not talking to the lost people here. He's talking to Christians. You know, let all these things be put away. So I believe he's warning us that, you know, these are going to come. You know, we're going to struggle with some of these things. It's just not going to be for the lost person. The bitterness and the wrath and the malice and the anger and these things, you know, that we look at and think that are so awful. But God, I believe God is warning us that we need to be careful, that we need to make sure that we keep them out of our life, you know, and that they don't creep up on us, because it'll creep up on us. You know, it will show up in our life, and we'll turn around and we'll say, I don't know how that happened. I don't know where it came from. You know, maybe we even say the unkind words, you know, and we lash out at somebody. We're like, where did that come from? You know, and that's these kind of things that'll just creep up on us. You know, we have to be on guard. But there in verse 32, and just another verse or two, and we'll try to close, says, and be ye kind one to another. Now, it's easy to be kind to those that are kind to us. You know, those that say, you're doing a good job, you know, and thanks for this and thanks for that, and I really appreciate that and all these things. But it sometimes it's a little more difficult to be kind to maybe those that maybe grumble and complain about things, you know, and we have a difficult time with that. But God says to be kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, be soft-spoken. Be, you know, don't be quick to lash out at people. Don't be quick to judge people, you know. And many times, if we're not careful, that's what the flesh will do. We'll be quick to judge somebody else, you know. Sometimes, and maybe someone comes into church and maybe I've talked to people and some things may happen that day at church and you think, man, I wonder what they were thinking. And then come to find out before they got there for 2 or 3 hours, their world just fell apart. You know, and we're like, well, they shouldn't be like that. We didn't know anything about the 2 or 3 hours beforehand. So I believe we need to remember that there could be real problems in people's lives. And we need to reach out to them. We need to be tenderhearted. We need to be forgiving. And we need to reach out and try to lend a helping hand and not be so quick to judge. It says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, and you know, we think about that, and I know we love to stand and sing that we're forgiven and that we're sealed and God's mercy is all over us, but we need to remember that for other people, and especially those of the same like faith, you know, us as Christians that are trying, you know, to, and I know some people say, well, they're not even trying, you know, and maybe they are trying hard, but maybe it's very difficult for them. Maybe they just need a little more nudge. They need a little more help, and I'm guilty of it. I'm not here preaching it. You guys that, you know, this is all that takes place. But I believe, you know, we need to remember that sometimes we need a spiritual refreshing. When that bitterness, when that wrath and that anger, you know, wells up inside of us. You know, maybe when we get that news that everybody's against us, we think, you know. And I believe with Elijah, I believe God showed him, you know, there was, I forget how many thousands that he had reserved, you know, for himself, you know, that God had reserved. Elijah wasn't by himself. You know, he wasn't the only one that was standing for God, but Elijah felt that way. And sometimes maybe when, you know, we're out by ourselves or we're at the workplace and everything's going wrong and it seems that everybody's against us, we think that we're the only ones left that are trying to serve God. And why would all this happen to me? But I believe we need to remember that we're not the only one left. God's still got many that's standing on his word. And I know we can look around and see that maybe, as we say, the falling away has taken place, you know, and people's not very interested in God's house and God's work. But I believe there's still a lot that are wanting to serve God. And then I want to look at one other scripture, and I'll close here in Matthew, the 26th chapter. And if you don't get anything else about someone that needed a spiritual refreshing, you know, and as I think about that, just before I go there, I don't want to turn to Daniel, but sometimes it will cost us something, you know, and it cost Daniel. We would have thought that it was going to cost Daniel his life when he was steadfast to God and went up against the decree that was signed, you know. But God showed up then. God took care of him, and he was physically, he was the only one left, you know, in the lion's den, but God was there with him, you know, and God took care of him. But there in Matthew, the 26th chapter, and we'll read just a couple verses in verse 39, talking about our Savior. And as you read this, and I know you may think that's a little odd that Jesus would need a spiritual refreshing, but as I read this and thought about it, and I've read it before and thought about it, you know, I believe Jesus was needing some help there. He was needing a spiritual refreshing. You know, his fleshly spirit was not wanting to do what needed to be done. And sometimes that, if we're all honest, that's you know, my flesh is weak. The spirit may be strong, but my flesh is weak. And it doesn't want to go against what the world's doing. You know, it wants to go with the world. It wants to go the least passive resistance. And many times that's following the world. But we need to stand. We need to look to God, and we'll read just a couple verses here in verse 39. It says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You know, and we think about that, and if he just prayed that prayer one time, you know, we would think, he was looking for strength from his heavenly Father. You know, as he asked him, you know, if it would be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Then you move into verse 40, it says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, and I thought about that as maybe some of the obstacles we come up against, some of the hindrances that we have, maybe some of the people that goes against us. You know, and as Jesus was praying this prayer, he was broken. He's praying this prayer and he comes back to the disciples and they, you know, it didn't bother them a bit. They were off asleep, you know. And so there, you know, if that would have been me, I'd have said, well, I give up. If they don't care, I don't care. You know, if that's all that's, you know, that I'm here for, and I'm, you know, if in my flesh, you know, as Jesus, and I'm not saying he said that, you know, but, you know, he thought, well, if they don't care, what's the use of me going to the cross? You know, here I am broken. I'm hurting inside, and they have no care at all. And sometimes, you know, we may encounter some people like that, and we may feel that way. But then in verse 42, it says he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You know, and I believe he was praying for strength that he would be able to go all the way that he needed to go for me and for you and go to the cross. And I believe as we think about that and think about the agony that he knew that he was going to face. He knew that he was going to face the rejection. He knew that he was going to be persecuted and tormented and all these things that took place before he went to the cross. And then even after he had to hang on the cross. But I pray tonight, hopefully it helped you. We'll have a song and have an altar call, and maybe you're struggling with something. I don't know.